Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome back to another week of Locked On Pacers Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where you can get a daily dose of great information about your favorite NBA and NFL teams, which now includes the Pacers right here. My name is Tom Lewis of IndyCornos.com, and today for that daily dose of Pacers info, we will catch up on the weekend news, including final roster cuts and injury updates before opening night on Wednesday. Also, some praise for rookie George Niang, who showed up big on the team's fan jam event at the Fieldhouse on Sunday, so we'll look at that event as well. So, let's get started. Now, I spent a long weekend out in Seattle, so we can catch up on what's happening together here. For starters, though, training camp is over, and it's time to prepare for the regular season opener against the Dallas Mavericks. Nate McMillan had his team working out on offense on Friday and then more focused on defense on Saturday, although, as he often says, both sides are taken care of regardless of where the emphasis is because someone has to be playing O while the other guy's defending and vice versa. So continual effort to develop strong communication seems to be an area where McMillan is looking to improve on the defensive end, mentioning, you know, several different players having stronger vocal roles than others. And one key communicator will have to be Miles Turner as the last line of defense at the five spot, since he will be seeing everything in front of him and making calls and be involved in pick and rolls and that type of thing. So when Dan Burke isn't screaming from the bench, he wants those players communicating and knowing what's going on and being on the same page defensively. Now, after practice on Friday, Paul George spoke about the team still coming together on the defensive end and with a lot of different guys from different systems, learning the style of play the Pacers want to play. And he thinks a lot of their issues have had to do with energy. And he thinks they need to take a confident, hard-nosed approach. But they're not going to be a team that can just flip a switch on during a game and start playing better and get past an opponent. They have to bring that energy and effort from start to finish. So that's not unlike every team that PG has been on here at Indiana, where a lot of times you're wondering how they're beating more talented teams. Well, it's because they're tied together defensively, they're bringing energy. And when they don't, they have those lulls that are frustrating and lead to losses. It never fails. So, moving on to more news from the weekend. As expected, the Pacers officially waived Julian Stone and Jeremy Evans after Fan Jam on Sunday. So, they got their last run in front of the fans, but then they were waived to bring the roster to the required 15-man limit for opening night. Now, Stone played in five preseason games. He only shot four times, four three-pointers on the offensive end, but showed he was a capable player on the defensive end. Obviously, he stood out among the camp invitees with little chance to make the team since he remained with the team right until the end here. So, pretty good showing during camp, but there's just no room on the roster for him. Same with Jeremy Evans, as it turns out. Now, the Pacers had 16 players under contract, and from day one, as I mentioned before, McMillan seemed to indicate that if, obviously, one of those players would have to be cut, it seemed to indicate Evans would be that player with coming in with a shoulder injury, not being able to play a lot, and also having just been traded from Dallas. But it turns out he was able to get into some practice time, actually even some game time, which was kind of a surprise, and left that final cup up in the grabs, up for grabs there towards the end of camp. But in the end, the obvious situation played out, and Evans was released, which kept Rakeem Christmas and Kevin Seraphin, even George Nying, happy to be on that 15-man roster. So Evans had, you know, he had a guaranteed contract, so that was where the intrigue was with him. But, you know, as I mentioned, the shoulder injury and his inability to practice, it turns out that deal with the Mavericks was more about helping out Rick Carlisle and the Mavs and letting them free up a little salary cap room by getting rid of Evans. So as of now, the Pacers owe Evans $1.3 million, but that will be covered by the $2 million the Mavericks threw in on the trade. So basically, the Pacers are just going to have to eat that chunk of salary cap space on their cap, but considering they are far closer to the salary floor than the salary cap at the top end, carrying that hit this year is not an issue. So basically, your fundamental NBA financial gymnastics at play there with Jeremy Evans. And so we'll see where he shows up next. But this year, it is not going to be with blue and gold. So who survived the cut? As I mentioned, Rakeem Christmas would probably be considered the 15th man on the spot, I guess. Kevin Seraphin, I would think, also would be kind of in that mix, although it appears that Bird has an eye on Seraphin and thinks he could still develop into something, and was probably hoping an opportunity might be able to get him going again. But at this point, you know, LaVoy Allen stepped up and secured a small but key reserve role among the front court players. So both Christmas and Seraphin are out of that mix for now. It'll be interesting to see what Christmas does as far as going to the D League. I know he spent most of his year there last year and surely doesn't want to go through that same thing again, but we'll see how the Pacers end up using their Fort Wayne assignments this year. No doubt rookie George Nying may be in line for some of those games down in Fort Wayne, although he, as we'll speak about later, is making a case to stay up with the big club as much as possible. So while Stone and Evans were on their way out of town, CJ Miles was back practicing this weekend as he tries to prepare for game action after missing much of the preseason with a sore knee. His availability creates depth at the wing, but also some tough decisions for Nate McMillan, considering Glenn Robinson III has played so well while Miles was out. And of course, Miles wants to play, and Mark Martinez had a story about Miles and some quotes from him about the situation that he is well aware of, having sat out and watched Robinson play so well that as a journeyman in the NBA, when a guy's going, and especially a young guy with upside, he may have to step back and let that guy play. And he seemed fully aware of the situation. CJ is obviously a very smart guy, great guy in the locker room. And as he put it, he will spend that time, if he's not in the rotation, sharpening his game and making sure that he's ready when his name will be called. And, you know, inevitably in a NBA season, his name's going to get called at one point or another. So a guy who can shoot it is going to find his way on the court at some point, and there's going to be a need. So he'll get his opportunity if it's not right at the start of the season in the playing rotation that he expected. So that's good news for Glenn Robinson III also, to have you know, a supportive veteran like that who understands and isn't going to cause any problems as he's trying to make the most of his opportunity to play early. But the games haven't started yet, and there's still a few days, so We'll see how McMillan ends up setting up that rotation for the Mavericks in the first game. So let me take a break to thank the Locked On Podcast Network for all their support and sponsoring this podcast. And I want you to make sure you check out all the great content across their NBA and NFL network. Locked On Colts was always a great show. And then the Locked On NBA show with David Locke in particular is fantastic look at the league overall. And Locked On Fantasy, also great show for NBA hoop heads. So check them out. Now, George Nyang, as we mentioned earlier, not only survived the final cut, but he has thrived in training camp. Normally, rookies are a bigger story in camp, and there hasn't been a lot of big buzz around Nyang so far. But, you know, with so many changes surrounding the Pacers this year, including the coach and style of play, new faces, and, you know, also he was a second-round pick, so expectations are a little lower in that case. He's pretty much gone through camp under the radar. Anything that he's done in a game or any exploits from practice have just been, you know, a pleasant surprise, but nothing to get too excited over. But that doesn't mean he hasn't impressed the coaches. And while he's not going to be in that playing rotation to start the season, and again, may spend some time in Fort Wayne, it does appear likely that Nyang will get an opportunity to play with the big boys, the big club, during the season at some point. And, you know, here's some high praise from McMillan, who said, quote, "I just think he has a real good feel for the game," McMillan said. "He's always in the right spot. The team moves the ball and executes when he's on the floor." Now, the funny thing is, that kind of sounds like somebody complimenting Nate McMillan when he was playing. But a guy like that with the, you know, the big basketball IQ, quote-unquote, and ability to make plays in different ways is something that McMillan obviously appreciates and any team can use. Now, the biggest question with Nyang is going to be, how is he going to defend? And maybe more importantly, who is he going to defend? Whether he can handle a bigger power forward or hang with a quicker small forward. But there's where there's a will, there's a way a lot of times with guys who can play. And as we've seen a lot throughout the NBA lately, when teams are going smaller, mismatching different guys on different players isn't always a negative and sometimes can be a big positive. So Nyang also had a starring role in the Fan Jam event, which was held on Sunday afternoon at the Fieldhouse. He won the three-point contest, and he was the rookie show. And he dressed up in costume and did his best version of Juju on that beat. And his teammates found great delight in his moves on the court. So good job getting through that rookie show. And now he's officially been baptized through Fan Jam to get on with the regular season. So as far as the Fan Jam as well, there's a lot of good stuff up on Pacers.com. They had a scrimmage session, but it appears it was far more of a all-star game type fast break dunk show, not really interested in defense type of scrimmage as opposed to a real down and dirty scrimmage, which you can imagine. They're not going to go kill themselves in that setting and go for a real practice. So, but Paul George delivered an array of high-flying finishes, as did several other players. So you can check out a replay of the Fan Jam with highlights, and there's been a lot of good stuff on social media, but also Pacers.com has a lot of stuff. They live stream the festivities, so they have everything on Pacers.com. So now the next time the fans will file into the Fieldhouse will be for the real deal. So, and that's on Wednesday when the Pacers host the Mavericks. And it's also Slick Leonard bobblehead night, a very sweet young Slick Leonard bobblehead night, which is outstanding. And so if you get into the game, make sure you get there early so you can get your bobblehead doll and enjoy the fun. You know, The Fieldhouse always puts on a great show for these games. So let's hope the Pacers add to the fun and include a W for every fan on the way out. So that will wrap us up for today. Thanks for listening to the show. Love to hear your thoughts on the team and the cuts. If you went to Fan Jam, I'd love to hear your experience. And the players were signing autographs, and there's some opportunity for interaction. Love to hear your experiences and share them with other fans. So please hit me up via email at indycornrows@gmail.com or on Twitter at indycornrows. And also, continual excitement over the growth of the podcast, and want to make sure everybody spreads the word to other Pacer fans out there. I know I heard from some people when I was out in Seattle, which was exciting to hear of, that they're listening and reading the blog. So I was real happy to hear from some fans out there. So we'd love to have listeners involved in the show as well. If your company wants to reach men age 18 to 44, you can sponsor this podcast. Our rates are reasonable. So again, email me at indycornrows@gmail.com to find out the details. And thanks again for listening. You can find the podcast on audioboom.com. You can subscribe on iTunes, where all prior episodes are available. So check them out. And that will do it for today. You've been listening to Locked On Pacers on the Locked On Podcast Network. You got it.